Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Shaffer, along with
Artemis Brower.
We're coming to you this week with episode 94. Artie.
94.
How we doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Doing real good. I'm playing house dad right now. Just kind of let everybody know I'm in the apartment. We just moved in, kind of getting everything situated. And my new job, Fidelity moved my start date back another 2 weeks. So I'm just kind of sitting here twiddling my thumbs. Did not expect that, but it's all good. That, you know, life throws you curveballs sometimes. You got to make adjustments. So I'm just kind of sitting in the house trying to figure out things to do in this new area I'm in. So kind of been driving around, kind of running errands, figuring out what's going on in the Raleigh, Cary, Durham area. But they say when you're out of work and when you're at the house, you know, it's a blessing because you don't have to get up and go to work. But I'm somebody that likes to work. I like to stay busy, and it's kind of killing me not being busy. So, but I, you know, other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. I mean, you know, I know that all too well. Being in between jobs at times, but that's great. For me, we just heard back. The appraisal came back clean on the house, so we're moving soon.
Yes, sir.
Y'all, there's a lot going on in the Brower and Shaffet households these days. So yes. That's why we're coming to you a day late for this episode. But just a lot going on in life right now. But Artie, mm-hmm. Do you have a number 94 for me?
You know, when I was doing the notes, that was the one thing I left off was to pick a 94. So I do not, and I wanted to get away from football. I don't want to name anybody in football. I want to do somebody else.
I'm going outside way of hockey. I'm going way off. I'm not even doing hockey this week.
Okay. Yeah. What's your 94? Give it to me.
Do you know who Bill Elliott is?
I feel like I've heard that name.
NASCAR?
Yes. Yeah. My family's big into NASCAR, at least on my dad's side.
I don't know what year he drove the number 94 car, but at one point in his career, he drove the 94 car. So shout out to my deep dive into Bill Elliott's career. But what I can tell you about Bill Elliott, he did finish first in the points in 1988. Mm-hmm. His last race was actually the Coke Zero 400 in Daytona in 2012. He's got 44 wins under his belt, 320 top tens, and 55 poles. I mean, dude had a awesome racing career. His son is now taking the reins, Chase Elliott. Shout out, big Braves fan. So, yeah, Bill Elliott, number 94. Artie, not much to talk about right now going on in the world of ECU.
Yeah, we're in one of those little spells. We're kind of in a dead period. You know, we got baseball going on, you know, full speed. But outside of that, it's just kind of, you know, hush, hush. You know, we're trying to get a story when we can.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get into all of that. But first, let me tell you about Can I Brands. So this episode of the Boneyard Podcast is brought to you by Can I Brands, whose CBD and wellness products are specially designed and manufactured right here in the United States of America to help you be at your best. Use promo code Boneyard25 for 25% off on canibrands.com. That's CBD products. And cani-wellness.com. That's their supplements and their non-CBD products. So if you don't want the CBD products, go to Can I Wellness, cani-wellness.com. If you want CBD, canibrands.com, that's the place to go. Boneyard 25, 25% off. That's how you do it. Artie, this stuff is great. I use it daily. I mean, when I say that, hey, it's great, I'm not just like blowing smoke up somebody's ass. Like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I really love their athletes or their athletic package. I'm somebody that works out quite a bit, and being able to use that after my workouts, even before my workouts, they have products you can use before your workouts and after your workouts. It really helps a lot. It really helps my muscles. Really helps when I come home. I'm not as, you know, agitated and tired as I would be without Can I Brands. So phenomenal products, as Jared says. You know, no blowing smoke. I don't put my name behind something that I don't, you know, firmly believe in. So definitely love it. Got to go check it out.
For sure. Well, Artie, let's just kind of hop right into it. We're going to talk EC baseball, EC basketball, who signed their head coach earlier this, or I guess last week. We'll talk about that a little bit. Talk about the Sweet 16 and March Madness and all the craziness that's happened so far in the tournament. And then we have an awesome interview.
Yes.
Now a two-time guest on the podcast, Brett Oliveira from Sup Dogs. I mean, Sup Dogs. Sir. March Madness isn't the only big tournament going on right now. NIT doesn't matter. We're talking Barstool Best Bar tournament going on. ECU's in the Elite Eight. Sup Dogs is in the Elite Eight. We talked to him about that. So stay tuned for that. But first, let's talk about ECU baseball, Artie. They're still kind of struggling. They're puttering over 500, just over 500. They're 11-10 after they beat Wilmington last night. What are you thinking, my man?
It's definitely frustrating. You know, to this point, you know, sitting at 11-10 overall, you know, we did go to Wilmington. We beat them 3-1, but we lost, you know, the series to the College of Charleston over the weekend. We lost that series 2-1. And that last game, I think, was 10-3. So, we just got drubbed in that last game. It's deflating because, you know, this is a team that was obviously in the top 15 to begin the season. This is a team, you know, when we did our, you know, baseball preview, you know, we were talking Omaha, we were talking regionals, we were talking hosting regionals, you know, that's what we were talking. We weren't talking struggling out the gates. We weren't talking, you know, kind of having to string together wins. We weren't talking, hey, is the season might be lost. You know, that's not anything that was even in our realm of thinking. 10 losses on the season. You didn't have ECU losing 10 games. I didn't have ECU losing 10 games at all. They've already lost more than what we thought they were going to lose this season by a lot. So it's definitely deflating to see this. You know, at this point, I don't know where it's going to come from. You know, I don't because defensively we're struggling mightily defensively. I mean, we can put up runs, we can score, but you know, we're giving up way too many runs, we're giving up way too many you know, stolen bases. It's just not really coming together the way we want it to come together. And now we are 20 plus games into the season. It's not like we have that much more. I mean, we're pretty much halfway through the season. So it's like, when is it gonna click? When is it gonna start rolling?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, some nights like last night, the pitching was outstanding. I mean, you had Ryder Giles start the game, and you go through your bullpen like you do in a weekday game or a weeknight game, and the pitching was great, defense was good. But then the bats weren't there. But then you have the bats that are hot, and then you don't get your pitching. So something's not clicking. It seems like every game we're not clicking something on all new cylinders, right?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it we're this far in the season. Right now, ECU's up 2-0 on Elon last time I saw it. So, that's good. But, I mean, you got to win these games. You got to win these midweek games. I mean – this is the last weekend where we don't have conference play. We got VCU at home. I mean, ECU's on a 5-game homestand. You got Elon, a 3-game series against VCU. And then you got Big Bad NC State coming into town on Tuesday. And you got to find a way to at least win 4 out of 5 of those games to really start putting together a pretty good resume.
No, I definitely agree. And then, you know, you really, I mean, with this 5-game homestand, I mean, you'd love to go undefeated. You'd love to go 4-1 heading into conference play, because once you get into conference play, I mean, our record is what it is at this point. But now we're talking about, okay, we have to, at this point, we have to win the American to get to the big dance. You know, our overall record is not going to be good enough to get us in. So we have to win the conference championship now. And are we going to be playing good enough baseball by then to kind of run the conference the way we want to? So it's definitely frustrating to see.
Yeah, and I will say that a lot of the games that we've lost, I mean, outside of the game on Sunday where we lost 10-3, I mean, a lot of the games that we've lost have been really tight games recently. Virginia Tech, kind of a blowout, 7-2, but I mean, we're talking they've been hanging in there with teams for the most part. They're just not getting that depth. And it's been showing. I mean, you need to win series. You need to win every series that you can. And ECU's just not been able to do that. They've got some good wins, but they don't have many good wins, and they've got some pretty bad losses, which are going to happen throughout the course of the season. But looking at it, I mean, right now ECU's struggling, and like you said, they may not make the tournament if they don't get it together soon.
Right, and the thing is, you know, and I want to ask you this. I mean, do you think the preseason hype was a little too much? Because when, you know, we're losing to good teams, we're beating, you know, we do have some good wins, but most of our wins are against teams that are kind of on the fence just like us. So it's like we were fully expecting to beat good teams because we thought we were going to be the better. You know, so we thought that, you know, we were going to be the better, even if we played a NC State or a Carolina or a Duke or what have you. We felt that, okay, we're still going to be better than those teams because we are a superior team. So do you feel like the preseason hype was a little too much for this squad?
Yes and no. I mean, you got a young team. You lost a bunch of guys last year. Most notably like Connor Norby, Thomas Francisco. You lost them. You don't have them in your lineup now. You've got young guys that are stepping in to try to string together hits. And I mean, Jacob Jenkins Cowart. That guy's been raking.
He's been killing it.
That right now he's my MVP.
He's definitely team MVP.
He just is. So I would say losing Carson Wisenhunt at the beginning of the season, the way you lose him, and we're not going to talk much about it. We've talked as much as we can about it. Losing him at the like, what was it, a day or two before the season? I mean, and finding out that's tough. I mean, that's your Friday night guy. That's the guy that's supposed to come in and give you six shut and all right, onto the bullpen. And we have bullpen depth, but when you're using your bullpen every single night and there's video of them and people are starting to see them more, you can't hide them, right? You've got to go down into them earlier in games because you don't have that depth that you had in the starting rotation that we thought we would have at the beginning of the season. So I think it kind of trickles down from there. And I think that the team just doesn't have as much confidence as they did last year.
No, I agree. I think we've definitely lost a bit of confidence, us also being young, us losing Wisenhunt. And these aren't excuses, but they are things to look at and to notify or notice, you know, why we are in the spell that we're in. You know, hopefully, you know, we say this every week, hopefully we can turn it around. Hopefully we can string together a few wins, not just a few, a lot at this point, because conference play is really, to me, that's really going to be the bulk of our season now. You know, we know what we have at this point. We know the struggles. We know what's going on. But to me, we gotta win the conference. We gotta win the American to be able to get into the big dance, because our overall record, in my opinion, is not going to be good enough to get in. So it's how we are looking going into conference play, and can we still run the conference? And then we gotta look at some of these other teams in the American and see how they're playing too, and if we even have a chance to be top two, top three in our conference.
Right now, the team to beat in the American Athletic Conference is Tulane. Shout out Corey Glore, friend of the podcast, enemy of the podcast, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, Artie, right now, the record is worrisome. But if you string together a decent season and get to 30 wins, 35 wins somehow. I mean, it's possible. I mean, you're 20.
It's possible.
I mean, through conference play, I mean, we're 20 games in. We've got 11 wins. You win 25 out of your next 30 games, which has been done before by ECU. They get hot and they go on a long winning streak.
Yeah.
You can have that. We just, right now, our expectations have been tempered because, I mean, we've been struggling. We have, and hopefully the guys find a way to pull it all together. But right now, I don't see us getting an at large, and if we do, we're going to be a 3 or 4 seed. But who knows? Maybe that's right where we want to be. I mean, that's not where we want to be, but like we can catch some teams sleeping that then.
Exactly. Basing it off of what we've done so far this season, that's kind of what, you know, where we would probably end up being. I do agree, you know, baseball is a game of runs, right? It's a game of streaks, and that's what we're hoping for, that we can kind of go on this 25-5 type of run and put ourselves back in a position that we want to be in. And, you know, to the ECU fans out there, Jared and I right there with you, we've been spoiled. We have been very much spoiled by the ECU baseball product. We have grown accustomed to seeing a certain, you know, winning around the program. And this happens even to great programs. This happens where you have a year where it's like, oh, what the hell happened? Why do we struggle like this? And you can't really explain it. Things happen the way they happen. But we definitely have been spoiled, but we still cannot, you know, abandon ship. We got to stay behind these guys, and we got to hope that we can go on one of those runs.
For sure. Now, Artie, let's shift it a little bit. Let's talk about ECU basketball. So we talked last week. It wasn't finalized. Mike Schwartz, the new head basketball coach of ECU, right? What do you know? Mm-hmm. What do you know about Mike Schwartz?
So just doing my, you know, due diligence and my research on Mike Schwartz, California guy from Los Angeles, went to Beverly Hills High School. So we know he doesn't come from a poor family. He comes from pretty good stock, you know, from Southern Cal. Started his college coaching career as a grad assistant at Texas, which was his alma mater. So shout out UT. And then, you know, he's made stops at, you know, Texas San Antonio, Miami, Florida, Fresno State, Tulsa, before finally reaching Tennessee. He's got over 20 years of recruiting experience. And what I'm really excited for is his defense. You know, he is somebody who's really known for his defensive prowess. He is that guy that's going to recruit guys that, you know, hard nose, nose to the ground, physical, like to play good defense. And that's really what ECU needs to be able to compete in a basketball conference like the American, because the American is an excellent basketball conference. You know, Tennessee has had 3 top 5 finishes defensively over the last 5 seasons. That's excellent. And he's coming from a Tennessee program that has been in the tournament. They've won SEC championships, regular season or, you know, conference tournament championships. They've been in the big dance. They were a 3 seed this season before getting knocked off by my Michigan Wolverines, who are in the Sweet 16. But still a very, very good squad, very, very good team. So I'm happy to hear that. And then he's coming from a Rick Barnes coaching tree. Rick Barnes is an excellent coach. He's been doing it for 30-plus years, and he's going to be his 13th assistant coming from the Rick Barnes coaching tree to get a head coaching job. So that's kind of what we know so far about Mike Schwartz. Obviously, this is his very first time being a head coach, so we don't have any kind of experience or any kind of knowledge of what he can do as a head coach, because this is his first time. This is his first gig. So there's really not too much we can give you outside of what he has done previously. And he's been good everywhere he's gone, and he's been successful everywhere he's gone. And he and also, I like the fact that they got somebody that is under the age of 50. I think that's very, very important. The man is, I think, 46, 47 years old. He's going to be a little bit more personable, probably going to be a little bit more, you know, easy to talk to. He's going to be a little bit more relatable to these guys. Not saying that Coach Dooley couldn't do it or was not doing it, but, you know, when you get a little younger and you go a little younger in your coaching staff, that's always going to benefit the players, because they're going to feel like they can relate and talk to their coaches a lot better.
Agreed. Yeah. And just looking at some of the contract details, let's talk some money here. So basically his annual salary is going to be about $900,000. The base pay is about $400,000, and the other $500,000 that comes from like his marketing, Pirate Club, and broadcast programs, which is good. That's kind of how the last 2 head coaches at ECU, their contracts have been structured. Talking Joe Dooley and Jeff Lebo. So that's right in line. I think that's a fair contract for a school like ECU, talking basketball. Now here's something that I find that's interesting. And this is John Gilbert doing kind of some of his magic and kind of structuring it kind of like what Mike Houston's new contract, when he signed his extension back in December, looks like. If ECU finishes with 20 or more wins or in the top third of the American in any of his first four seasons, Coach Mike Schwartz will get an automatic one-year contract extension. It's only a single one-year extension that can be triggered by this scenario over the first 4 years. So if he gets to 20 wins or if he gets into the top third of the American, which I think is going to be much more doable over the next couple of years, then he gets a fifth year onto his contract. He also, there's incentive pay for season ticket sales. If ECU surpasses 4,700 season tickets, he'll get a $30,000 payment. And then also he gets a bonus anywhere between $2,500 and $10,000 based on the team's GPA, starting with a mark above 3.0, a team GPA of 3.5 or above, and that's the full 10 grand. So, I mean, this is all good. Any season that ECU finishes with 20 or more team wins, he'll get a $10,000 bonus. For each regular season, the Pirates win half or more of their the American games, he gets a $25,000 bonus. If ECU wins the American Conference Championship, he gets a $50,000 bonus. I mean, this is good. ECU is showing that they're willing to invest in a coach, and I mean that's what we need. We need more investment. They've shown, hey, we're investing in baseball, but basically giving Cliff Godwin whatever he wants. They've invested in football by doing the same. There's still places we can invest in, but we're looking at we're talking about the indoor practice facility, but there's ECU showing that, hey, we're willing to invest in our teams, in our athletic programs.
Yeah, and I absolutely love incentive laden contracts. I mean, it just makes you hungrier. It makes you want to go out and do your job to the best of your ability. Everything that you just laid out is going to make Coach Schwartz want to go out and do his due diligence, not just for himself, but for the program as well, because he's got a tall task. I mean, he really does. I mean, we've got two winning seasons over the last 25 years. The last true winning season we had was 2012 with Jeff Lebo, when we went 23-12 and won a CIT championship. That was the year before we got to ECU, the year before we even came on campus. So you and I have never really seen that. So, you know, it's a tall order. It's a tall task. I mean, it's going to be a lot of firsts. If he can come in here and get it done, and if he can be successful, it's definitely going to be a lot of firsts, because we are not used to winning. We're not used to having winning programs at ECU when it comes to our basketball program. So I love the fact that ECU is investing. ECU has laid out all these incentives in front of him to say, hey, you know, come in, be our guy, and if you can take us here and here and here and here, this is what we will reward you with. So I love the fact that it's incentive laden.
For sure. Well, hopefully Coach Schwartz can get ECU to the big dance, but there is a big dance going on right now. That's the Barstool Best Bar Dance. We're going to get to our interview with Brett Oliverio, the owner of Sup Dogs, in Greenville and Chapel Hill. But Artie, before we do that, let me tell you a little bit more about Can-I Brands. We talked a little bit about them earlier. I'm going to talk to you about their Can-I Boost, okay? So let me tell you some of these ingredients, okay? Organic coffee bean extract contains compounds called chlorogenic acids. They provide antioxidant effects and can help lower blood pressure and cholesterol. Oh, this is a tough word. Astragalus root extract. is used to stimulate and increase the immune system. It can assist in the prevention of colds, lowering blood pressure, and helping to protect the liver. Vitamin B12 is an essential vitamin for proper function and development of the brain, nerves, and blood cells, and it assists in helping to lower blood pressure and cholesterol. It also aids in synthesizing and metabolizing serotonin, which is responsible for regulating your mood. Vitamin B3 provides the body assistance in converting nutrients into energy, Geez, I should make you start doing these ad reads more. absorbs healthy fats and provides antioxidant effects. Vitamin B3 can also assist in boosting optimal brain function. Green tea contains healthy bioactive compounds that play a role in improving brain function and protecting the brain from aging. Already, I have the brain of like a 86-year-old. So
right.
Green tea contains caffeine, which improves thinking and alertness. The caffeine also stimulates the nervous system and heart, which increases the release of neurotransmitters in the brain. And then beet juice, beets, bears, Battlestar Galactica, can help boost energy, which can aid in athletic performance and working out for longer periods of time. It also helps in reducing soreness and pain post-workout, as it helps to decrease swelling. Beet juice is rich in nitrates, which help to lower blood pressure and improve blood flow. Those are all the all the key ingredients that go into Can I Boost. Okay, this is a CBD product that, I mean, I use it to, I used it this weekend before I went and played golf. I woke up and I was feeling kind of sluggish. Used it. I was able to pay more attention and be more alert when I was on the golf course and think more and focus on my shot. And man, I played a hell of a round. I struggled on the front nine, came back, shot a 45 on the back nine, three straight pars out the gate on the back nine. Like I was feeling good. Ooh. And I really do think, like, the only thing I really changed was what I did before my round. I used the Can I Boost spray. I took like 8 sprays in my mouth and I felt it. That was enough. And I'm keeping it in my golf bag now because it helps. So go to canibrands.com, get you some Can I Boost. It'll help your golf game. It'll help you pay more attention at work. It'll help you get through the day. Maybe you're trying to cut back on coffee and tea and all those other things that are bad for you. This is good for you. Go to canibrands.com, use promo code Boneyard25. You'll get 25% off, and you can thank us afterwards because you're going to love it. All right. Once again, canibrands.com, Boneyard25. This is the promo code for 25% off. So, Artie, let's send it over to our interview with Brett Oliverio from Sup Dogs. This week on the Boneyard Podcast, everybody, we are pleased to be joined by, now I guess he's a 2-time guest, Brett Oliverio from Sup Dogs. Brett, how's it going, my man?
Good. Thanks for having me on again, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, pleasure is ours.
The pleasure is ours for sure. Now, Brett, there's a lot going on right now in the world of Sup Dogs. I mean, you got the Best Bar tournament going on again in the Elite Eight. You got Doggy Jams just a week away, week and a half away, coming up next Friday. How are you doing with all this? And then on top of it, you just had a baby.
Yeah, things are crazy right now. So the no sleep thing from the new baby's torture. But I love it. And the restaurants, we're just busier than ever. So, you know, between Best Bar and Doggy Jams and just busy as hell restaurant, you know, from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m., it's like things are insane, but in a good way. So I'm appreciative of all the support.
Gotcha.
A place to now, be, Brett, for sure.
Brett, I might have asked you this the last time, but I got a question. Is there a desire to open up more SUPs elsewhere? Is there a desire to get on more campuses? Or are we just going to have the two in Greenville and Chapel Hill?
You know, right now, I mean, both locations are doing better than ever. So, I mean, we're, what are we, 14 years in here in Greenville and going on 8 years in Chapel Hill. And we just had our best year ever. So, you know, between having kids and two incredibly high volume places, it's almost like I don't have the bandwidth to open more. And there's just a lot of opportunity here in Greenville. So, you know, we live here and, you know, we're starting to get into some more real estate stuff and, you know, there's just more opportunity to open businesses here, maybe even that sort of complement Sup Dogs. So right now my focus is still on these two restaurants and, you know, see what other opportunities are out there. Now in the future, you know, we could go the franchise route. We've had a handful of franchise companies reach out wanting to franchise our brand, but I don't know. We'll see. We had a deal done to open in Raleigh, and then I really just got cold feet and backed out, mainly because, you know, I worried we open in NC State. I know it'll be slammed and crazy and everyone will love it, but then I just worry about staffing. As far as staffing the kitchen,
right,
it's really hard to find skilled cooks right now. So, but the short answer is we're going to stick with two for now, but who knows? 5 years from now, 3 years from now might be a different answer.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Brett, I always think about, I mean, y'all have one of the most interesting menus around. I mean, and you can't find anything, or you can't find something that's going to be better than what y'all serve at Sup Dogs. Now, let me ask you, how do y'all come up with some of the things that you put on your menu?
You know, a lot of the stuff is just our staff. Like, for instance, the bacon cheese fry burger, which is our number one selling burger. Like, I just was hanging out in the back of house, and one of our cooks is, I saw him put bacon cheese fries on top of his burger. I'm like, what is that? It's like, oh, it actually tastes, it kind of looks weird, but it tastes really good. And, you know, very rarely do we add things to our menu unless it sort of just knocks my socks off. Or, but most of it's just, you know, creative guys in our kitchen and, you know, even the servers, like when they get a minute, they're in the kitchen sort of coming up with some sort of concoction. And, you know, that's sort of how all of our menu items have been made. That's how the jalapeno popper tots were made. Most menu items just start with staff.
Now, as a follow-up to that, is there something that somebody's been like, hey, Brett, you got to try this, and you've tried it, and you're just like, no, nah, I can't eat that.
I mean, that happens all the time. Hey, you should put this on the menu or add this drink to the menu. And, you know, not everything is a home run. Like, we've added stuff and tried stuff that's been a flop. But, I mean, most of it, you can't go wrong if you're going, you know, fries, tots, burgers, hot dogs. You know, like, for instance, we tried a bunch of stuff with avocado a while back. I don't know. There's a lot more that goes into it than you would think. Like, our businesses are so busy and high volume. You know, if we add something, like, if we add something to our menu, we have to make sure that the processes are in place to do it a couple thousand times a day without slowing down our kitchen, without bogging down inventory, making sure we have cooler space or freezer space. So, you know, there's sort of we call it sub science. So there's definitely a science behind what we do.
Nice. Now, kind of, you know, switching gears a little bit, talking about Barstool Best Bar, winning that, being in that, being, you know, the best bar in the nation, what has that kind of done? What has that notoriety done to the success of Sups overall?
Yeah, you know, it's been it's certainly helped. I mean, Barstool Sports is enormous. You know, their popularity has taken off over the last handful of years, and you know, when someone Googles our name, or it instantly pops up, Sup Dogs named best college bar in America. So, you know, we've almost sort of turned into a little bit of a tourist attraction. So people that are going to the Outer Banks or going to Raleigh or visiting ECU will stop into Sup Dogs. And, you know, I think the notoriety from, you know, Barstool has helped enormously. Also Mr. Beast. I mean, he started coming into our restaurant. He still does. He's in here the other day. You know, that's helped. So, but ultimately, you know, the product has to be good and the experience has to be there. You know, I tell everyone, every restaurant or even bar has good food. I mean, when was the last time you went to a bar or restaurant and you were like, this food is terrible? It's all pretty good everywhere you go. So you sort of have to have it all. You have to have the food, the atmosphere, the people, the marketing, and you know, obviously the Barstool Best Bar stuff helps a ton. And I mean, you could see it in sales. Like, as this contest gets building and people start to get into it, you know, there'll be a random Tuesday or Wednesday where normally we'd be busy but not insane, as people are tweeting and talking about us, boom, things are just madness because it's sort of on top of people's minds.
Gotcha.
Now, I saw that they just released the new Barstool Best Bar, like the t-shirts for this round.
Yeah.
Did you have any say, or do y'all have any say in designing those? And because those things are sick.
Yeah, no, I have no say. I mean, I got that design like 3 minutes before the contest started.
Oh, wow.
You know, sort of with Barstool, and I sort of handle it the same way I do Mr. Beast. Like, whatever they want to do, do it. Like, I told Mr. Beast, I don't care how wacky or how crazy, anytime you want to film at our restaurant, anything you want to do, do it. Don't even have to ask. Just show up and do it. So it's the same thing with Barstool. You know, if they want to create a custom t-shirt for us and help market it and push it out there, I'm all for it. So they definitely have some awesome t-shirt designers, and hopefully we'll sell a ton, because each t-shirt that's bought counts for an extra 7 votes. So each person can only get 1 vote by tweeting Best Bar Sup Dogs, but each person can get an extra 7 by buying a shirt. Now, they are pretty expensive, but I know Barstool's donating a handful of the money back to us, which we'll turn around and do something cool with it. It's not just going to go into my bank account. We'll do something for the staff. To be honest, if we win the event, we'll put it towards bringing in someone really famous to do like a big celebration. I sort of just, you can't beat the design. And I just hope people are, go onto our Instagram, the link's in our bio, and decide to buy a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Now, talking about bringing in somebody pretty big and famous, next week, April 1st, Friday, at 3:00, DJ Diesel, aka Shaquille O'Neal, gonna be rocking Doggy Jams. It's been 2 years in the making, kind of through COVID, to get this going.
Yeah, it's crazy because we booked him in 2020, and weirdly, Shaq has only gotten bigger over the last 2 years. Just his brand and how cool he is. I mean, the guy's like 50, and he's like cooler than he ever was when he played in the NBA. Look, I'm just thankful that he kept rescheduling it. Being in a small town, and it's just an event put on by a college bar. Like, he didn't have to do the event. So I'm thankful that he continued to push it back. And, right now the event's sold out. There's going to be 4,500 people out there. It's going to be just total madness. And, I just can't wait for it to happen. You know, the cool thing, like, we've brought a handful of celebrities to Greenville, like Lil Jon, DJ Pauly D. It's always just cool to see these guys sort of walking around downtown Greenville. Normally it's like college girls, frat guys, or you might see an athlete walking down the street, but like someone really famous, it's just pretty cool to have in our community. And I'm pumped. It's going to be insane, and we just have to hope for good weather.
Yeah. And Doggy Jams, it's such a great event. It gets bigger and bigger every single year. Why do you think that you guys are able to, put on such a huge event like Doggy Jams, bring in the kind of celebrities that you do? Because I'm sure, Shaq is the biggest, but I'm sure next year it'd be somebody even bigger and crazier. How do you think that is?
I mean, that's the hard part. Like, how do you keep doing it? Like, you can't keep topping yourself. Like, who?
Yeah.
We can't bring like Justin Timberlake, like, you know what I mean? Like, never Justin Bieber. Like, when does it end? I don't know. It's just a ton of planning, and it's like, and the bigger the event, the more eyeballs on the event, the more intense the planning gets. I mean, we used to just throw it together ourselves at Sup Dogs in our parking lot. But now it's like, meetings with the city and the city manager's office and police and fire rescue and alcohol law enforcement and zoning and parking. And it just, there's so many layers to it now that, it's just a really intense event to put on, but we are more prepared than ever this year. Tons of police and security. I'm confident it's going to be incredibly safe. So, it's sort of what we do. You know, there's a lot of pressure that goes along with putting on an event like this for this many people, but you know, that's kind of what we do. I mean, if you look at the amount of people that come to our restaurant, like even last weekend, like St. Patrick's Day weekend, it was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's just relentless, just people pouring in, which is amazing. But it can be intense, that's for sure.
Now, so you said about 4,500 people coming. I mean, are y'all still doing it in the parking lot still?
No, we moved it to Five Points Plaza where where they do Free Food Friday. Yeah. It's just a little more set up for a big event. And, you know, we'll have food trucks out there. And I think we got like 60 bathrooms, you know, ton of 20 different sup crush and beer stations. And, you know, the production we have for Shaq is going to be first class. So huge video boards and the sound is going to be amazing. So, you know, it's got to live up to the hype, and I'm confident it will.
Yeah, it's exciting, that's for sure.
Now, Brett, I know you just said that you guys had, you know, the biggest year as far as revenue wise that you've had, and that's coming off the heels of COVID. So how are you guys able to navigate, you know, the finality of COVID, kind of still do everything that you want to do as a business, but kind of navigate, you know, this pandemic that's been, you know, taking over the world for the last 2-3 years now, so.
You know, I just think it was endless hard work. You know, we laid off zero people. You know, we paid people when we were closed. We paid people in full as we were doing takeout only. So we just have worked incredibly hard and did our best to. I mean, I look at videos back during COVID, and our servers are, you know, serving, walking through the rain to serve people food because we had tents out in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know, so we sort of, my mentality was when COVID first hit, my mentality was, you know, I think the restaurants and bars that make people feel safe are the ones that are going to win. So that was my goal from the beginning. How are we going to make people feel safe coming into this small, cramped bar/restaurant that's full of college kids? So we did our best. A ton of outdoor dining, you know, followed all the proper procedures, whether we liked it or not. And then we sort of had a brutal 2020 and came out on the better side of things in 2021. So it just came down to hard work. And, you know, that's our, you know, we never closed and we just found ways to make sure we still we're doing what we always do. And, you know, all that credit goes to the staff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, I know you've got a hard stop at here coming up. So I'd like to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
As far as, I mean, going back to Doggy Jams, I mean, it's such a big production. Can you give us any hints as to what's going to happen 2023?
Shoot, I have no idea, man. I mean, usually what happens, we do the event, we get through it, and then, you know, the rest of April and May are just insane. And then things sort of calm down, like in June, July. And then I start thinking about it around August, September, during football season, like start putting feelers out there and emails. You know, it does help when you're booking an event. People are always like, how'd you get Shaq? How'd you get Lil Jon? You know, you sort of send them pictures and videos of prior events. You know, next year, you know, the people that we contact will say, hey, last year we had Shaquille O'Neal, DJ Diesel. Here's a snippet of the event. I don't know. And it all depends on who's cool. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I have emails from years ago where we came close to booking Machine Gun Kelly for Doggy Jams before he like exploded. Same with Lil Dicky. He was interested in doing it and then he exploded. So, you know, especially with college kids, like you just don't really know who's going to be relevant and cool mm-hmm. until you're in the moment. So ask me in 6 months, I'll have a better idea.
For sure. Yeah. I think Artie should MC one of these things.
Hey, I don't know if you want me to do that, but I won't be bored.
I'm kidding. We asked you last time what your favorite or what your sub dog's order is. Has it changed? Is it the same thing?
What did I say? I go through phases. So what? Do you remember what I said last time?
Oh man, that was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Yeah. So.
I went through a sweet and spicy burger phase, and then I went through a nacho burger phase, and then a blackout burger. I think if I went today, I would get. I'd probably start off with nachos, add extra chili, and then maybe some buffalo boneless wings.
Ooh.
Our buffalo sauce is homemade. It's the best sauce.
Yeah, love
it's
those.
So good.
And then I'd get I'd probably get a smokehouse dog with bacon cheese fries.
Ooh. Double the dog or no?
It depends if I can. Probably. I probably will.
I didn't eat lunch today.
Bacon cheese fries and then grapefruit sup crushes.
Nice.
My favorite drink.
I'm salivating over here. I haven't eaten lunch today. So.
And that's the funny part. People are like, don't you get sick of your food? I mean, I try not to eat it unless I have friends or family in town. Like Doggy Jams, we'll have a bunch of family in town. So I'm sure we'll get some sup crushes and food that weekend. But I try not to eat it unless I have friends and family in town. So, I mean, I see our food every day times two restaurants and I still want it all the time.
Right.
Now, are you spending a good majority of your do you travel to Chapel Hill quite a bit for Sup Dogs?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there on Thursday, and it all depends. Like, I haven't in the last couple weeks because we just had our daughter. But, you know, if you take a look at UNC's in the Sweet 16, that's Friday night. That'll be insane. Like, I don't think I can get there this Friday night. But, you know, if UNC's in the Elite Eight or Final Four, then I'll have to get there because it'll just be madness. So, I try to get there for big events. And if I'm not there, I'm just in constant communication, like all day over text and cameras. And, you know, there's always a million things going wrong. Sup swirl machine broken right now. We ordered too much green beer for St. Patrick's Day because it was spring break at UNC. We're hiring. There's a million things going on. So a lot of it can be done over the phone, but I like to be there on real busy days. But obviously my home is here in Greenville, and, inside the restaurant here is generally where you can find me.
For sure. Well, Brett, thank you so much for joining us on the Boneyard Podcast again. Absolutely. Everybody tweet # Best Bar Sup Dogs. Buy a t-shirt, get 7 extra votes, and go enjoy a sup crush.
Hey, real quick, what do you guys think about the basketball coach that was hired?
I think he's a good coach from what I've heard of him. I mean, what I've seen, he's got one of the best defenses, or he had one of the best defenses at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's the area ECU struggled in. But unless they can shoot the basketball, then that was the issue. They went through so many stretches where they 7 minutes and didn't score a point.
Right.
And they got to figure that out. So,
I mean, I was surprised when Dooley was fired, to be honest with you. I mean, our first winning year, more fans than ever, more fans in the arena than there has been in the last 10 years. I was shocked when they fired him. And I thought he was a good coach. I mean, obviously, I don't care how good you are if you don't have the recruits when you're up against, you know, Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis, Wichita State. It's crazy. But I don't know. I was shocked. I hope, I hope this guy becomes part of the community and,
So do we.
It's hard. And, another thing is it's hard to jump into when you're a first-time head coach. It was the same way in UNC, like Hubert. Hubert was the obvious selection for UNC, but
– right.
I mean, you're a first-time head coach. There's going to be growing pains.
Now, and then him coming to a small market as well, trying to, coming from Tennessee, which is a big-time program, then now coming to Greenville, North Carolina, and trying to get recruits down here, that's going to be a lot.
Now, one final question. I think you and I have talked about it a little bit, but has Sup Dogs, have y'all thought about doing any, like, NIL sponsorships or anything like that?
You know, we do a lot of it. We do a bunch with Holton, so, we basically, he comes in after every home game and hangs out, just eats, and his friends might have a drink or something. But, the NIL stuff, it's like, well, where do you, where do you start and stop with it? Like, I could see the quarterback at ECU, but where does it end? Like, where's the value? So, like, right. At UNC, the players already they all come in. Like, mm-hmm. Sam Howell's in all the time, and basketball players are in all the time. What am I going to do, Pam, to do some forced, cheesy ad? Like, yeah. and then here at ECU, like, the quarterback of ECU, like, okay, he deserves a sponsorship. But then everyone else does too. So I don't know where to stop. Like,
right.
Do we do the cheerleaders? Do we do the star softball player, the track star, the swimmer,
right.
Running back? Like, I don't know where the value is. So, yeah, and I just don't know. And I also don't want to flush money down the toilet. So it's a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you guys have any ideas, let me know. I always thought my marketing instinct is the quarterback, and then where are the eyeballs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which are the other star players. On star athletes and good-looking girls. So who are the good-looking girls? Is it the cheerleaders, the dance team, the athletes? I don't know, which athletes, which sports? Who are the stars? But I don't know. I don't know where to start. We just did Holton here, and – and done nothing at UNC. I mean, they're always hitting us up. I don't even know what it's going to cost you. I mean,
right.
Astronomical amounts.
Probably. Yeah. Like someone told me Sam Howell was making over $1 million from like Bojangles. And
oh, Jesus.
So like, what am I going to offer him? $500 yeah. to come in? Like, so, but let me, if you guys have any ideas, let me know.
We've been talking to some people. We might have some that I can send over to you.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, Brett, thank you again for joining us. I know we're a little bit over time, but it's always a pleasure catching up and talking to you. And best of luck.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate the support, guys. And I know we're going to be doing a giveaway. And thanks for always supporting Sup Dogs. And I'm happy that the podcast is taking off. I mean, I definitely see some buzz about it on Twitter. And, so that's good stuff.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Once again, that was Brett Oliverio from Sup Dogs, owner of Sup Dogs. Dude's a great guy. We've had him on now twice. Doggy Jam's coming up, Artie. It's going to be an exciting time. I wish I could be there. Unfortunately, it's a couple hours. It's too far of a drive for me to make that trek for a day drinking day of fun in Greenville. I would love to, but especially if I'm going to be going down there the following weekend for the spring game, I just can't make that trip twice in a row while we're trying to close on a house. But hopefully you mm-hmm. can get there and show out for the Boneyard Podcast, the premier podcast of Pirate Nation. Artie, what'd you take away from that interview?
Yeah, man, it's always a good time sitting down with Brett. I mean, he's such a humble and cool dude. I mean, he's got one of the most successful, if not the most successful business in all of Greenville. He's got another successful business in Chapel Hill. He could franchise this thing at any point when he wanted to. He could be a millionaire if he's not already a millionaire. But, I mean, the way he speaks, the way he talks, I mean, he's just a regular old dude who just loves to sit down and gives his thanks and his appreciative to his staff and his workers and everybody. So Brett is just, I mean, he's just, you know, the kind of guy that you want to go sit down and have a beer with. I mean, just really is. And definitely going to have him on again. Cannot wait to, do some more things with Sup Dogs, maybe getting that live podcast out in front in the parking lot at Sup Dogs with our banner all nice and pretty sitting out in front. So good time. Can't wait to continue this great relationship that we have with Brett and Sup Dogs.
Yeah, for sure. And we did mention a giveaway. We are giving away two free tickets to Doggy Jams. Doggy Jams is sold out. Nobody can get tickets unless you're a friend of the Boneyard Podcast. Here's what you need to do. Go to our Twitter. It's the pinned tweet right now. Go to our Twitter. What you'll do is you'll say, okay, I want these tickets. So I'm going to follow the Boneyard Podcast, if you don't already, and if you don't, you're messing up in life. You're going to follow Sup Dogs. You're going to retweet that tweet that you see pinned to the top of our profile, and then just click on the link at the bottom. it'll pop up a new tweet for you to tweet and hit tweet. And that's all you got to do. Also, if you buy a t-shirt and you send us a screenshot that, hey, I've got the confirmation, you can DM it to us. Then what we're going to do is we're going to give you 5 extra entries. We're going to DM the winner on Friday night after voting for the Elite Eight ends. And yeah, that's all you need to do. And you'll be entered to win 2 tickets to see DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaquille O'Neal. Artie, I've been talking all day, man. You'll get to see DJ Diesel, Brianna Chicken Fry from Barstool, which, I mean, she's an awesome personality. I love listening to her podcast. So, yeah, you'll see both of them at Doggy Jams. It's going to be a hell of a time. I mean, Sup Crush is on deck. Have a Sup Crush for us. But you got to win these tickets. Go to our Twitter and enter to win. Artie, the Sweet 16.
We have gotten here. It's here tomorrow and Friday.
I will say my favorite part of the tournament's already happened. I love the round of 64 and the round of 32 because there is that's where the madness is. Like, there's not much madness that goes on in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, the championship game.
Right.
Now, occasionally you have that, but there you don't have as much of it. What was maybe your favorite part of the first two rounds?
Well, look, I will say this about this year's tournament in particular. The Sweet 16 that we have, I mean, there's really not a lot of blue bloods left. I mean, when you look at it, you got Kansas, UCLA, UNC, and Duke. I mean, those are like your main staples. I mean, yeah, Gonzaga's there, but, you know, they've never really won championships like that. I don't know if they won a championship. Do they have one? I don't think they have one.
Yeah.
I know they went to the championship game.
Didn't they win one?
Did they win last year? Or 2 years ago?
Baylor won last year.
I know it was recent. But, you know, those are really the only blue bloods that you have. Everybody else is like, you know, Providence, Arkansas, St. Peter's, Texas Tech. I mean, these are typical normal Sweet 16 teams. So, I mean, the tournament has really produced a lot of, you know, good, you know, non-household names. I think my favorite moment so far, and I'm trying to think, probably that Baylor-UNC game, honestly. That Baylor-UNC game this past weekend was incredible. That was the first game I got to watch from wire to wire. Carolina was up by like 25 points. Baylor was dead in the water. And then all of a sudden, the ginger kid from Carolina gets ejected. I don't know his name, so I'm just going to call him the ginger kid. He gets Brady ejected. Manic. Baylor comes all the way back, forces overtime, steals all the momentum back. They have a great overtime, and then Carolina is able to win it in the end. And that was probably the best game that I saw. But obviously, St. Peter's being 15 seed in the Sweet 16, about to go up against Purdue in the Sweet 16. That's probably the feel good story for the tournament so far.
Yeah, Artie, and I was wrong. Gonzaga does not have a championship.
Yeah. I didn't think they did. I know they've been to the championship game. I didn't think they won.
They've been to the championship game twice in the last 5 years, 2017 and 2021.
I guess they can technically be considered a blue blood because they're always in the Elite Eight and the Final Four, but they don't have championships. I
mean, in the last 25 years, they have 5 Elite Eight appearances, 2 Final Fours, of course, 2 runner-ups, 2 championship game appearances. They've been to the Sweet 16 too many times for me to count.
It's a lot.
They're teetering on the edge of being a blue blood. I wouldn't consider them a blue blood. When I think blue blood, I would even throw UCLA in there.
Not recently, but blue blood.
Yeah, history. Shout out Mick Cronin. I've told that story plenty of times. Don't have an aneurysm, Mick. And I see it already had one. There's a lot going on. What matchup are you really looking forward to watching this weekend?
looking at these matchups, I mean, I think all of them are going to be good games outside of the Kansas-Providence game. I think that's going to be a blowout. But I think all these other games should be pretty tight. Probably the one that could create the most drama would be Arizona-Houston. I think they really match up very well. I think Arizona has the best player of the tournament so far with the shooting guard that they have at Arizona. And then Houston, I mean, the way they play defense, so Houston's defense matching up with Arizona's offense, I think is going to be fireworks. And I think that's going to be the matchup because either one of those teams could win. You know, when I look at all these, I have a favorite. That Arizona-Houston game, I don't have a favorite. I really don't know who's going to win that game.
Yeah, that's the game I was kind of looking at and saying, okay, yeah, this is going to be a really good game. The game that I think is most interesting is that Miami-Iowa State game. I've been very high on Miami since the get-go. I don't think I picked them to go this far, but I knew I had them picked to beat who they play in the first round, Texas. I knew that I had them to beat them or whoever they played. I think I had them get into the Sweet 16, but I don't know. Miami can mess around, and at the end of the weekend, they may be the one team from the ACC that's still in the tournament.
They very well could be. I did see all three ACC teams moving on, but I agree. Miami definitely could be the one because I think they have the favorable matchup out of the three. I would agree with that.
The issue with UNC, so if I'm not mistaken, Brady Manek is out for that game.
Oh, so that ejection carries over to the next.
Yeah, because it's a flagrant two. Which we saw with Brandon Suggs, he got a flagrant two, got ejected, and then was suspended for a game. I'm pretty sure that's what happens with Brady Manek now that he's been given a flagrant two against Baylor. So and he was their best player on the court, and he was the best player on the court when they played Duke a couple weeks ago and beat them. So I definitely think that UCLA, I think UNC's cooked. I don't see UNC making it past the Sweet 16 this weekend.
Oh, you know, for some reason, I was thinking it was like football, and he was just going to be out for the first half, and he would be eligible to play in the second half. I didn't know it was a full game, so yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, it's a full game. Duke, I'm still not sold on Duke 100%. I think that there's some frauds at Duke right now. They've shown times during the season where they're really good and they look unbeatable. But then they come out and they get the crap beat out of them by Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game. So I'm not fully sold on Duke winning that game either. I think Miami has the best shot to be the lone team out of the ACC to make it to the Elite Eight. And who knows? I think Iowa State could beat them, and there'd be no ACC teams in the Elite Eight, but I'd be fine with that because screw the ACC.
So what's your predictions for these games? And if you had to look at all eight games, what is Jared's Elite Eight?
All right. I would say – I'm going to say Miami. I just have a feeling.
Okay.
Miami. I think Villanova beats Michigan.
Okay.
I think Kansas beats Providence. Mm-hmm. UCLA beats UNC. Gonzaga beats Arkansas. Sorry, St. Peter's. Your Cinderella run is over. I think I've got Purdue in the Final Four, so
okay.
Purdue. I think Houston beats Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm not 100% sold on Duke, I do think that they beat the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. But that's the one that I'm probably least confident in out of all those picks.
Is that Duke versus Texas Tech matchup? Okay. I agree with you on Miami. I think they beat Iowa State. I'm not being a homer. I feel like Michigan's going to be going over. I think they're going to lose in the Elite Eight. I think they're going to lose in the Elite Eight. I think Michigan, whoever Michigan plays in the Elite Eight, I think they're going to lose. But for some reason, I feel like it's not over yet. I feel like their run is just not done yet. They're going to put one more good game together. I think they're going to beat Villanova. That Kansas-Providence matchup, to me, that's going to be the one real blowout of the weekend. I think Kansas wins that by 15, 20 points. Now that I know that Manning is not playing for UNC, I did have Carolina beating UCLA, but I did not know that he wasn't playing.
I could be off base on that, but I'm pretty sure he's suspended for that game.
Yeah, it really, to me, it depends on his play. If he plays, I got UNC. If he doesn't play, I got UCLA. That's really how that game is for me. Gonzaga versus Arkansas, that's my upset. I got Arkansas over Gonzaga. I think the way they play defense, I think the way that they're really tough, they're really physical. That's probably my one upset. I would love to see St. Peter's beat Purdue. I would absolutely love to see it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Purdue's going to win that game. Give me Arizona over Houston because they have the best player in that matchup. I think that's going to be the closest game. I think that's going to be like an 85-83 type of game. I think it's going to be phenomenal. And then give me Duke over Texas Tech.
Okay, so here I did some digging, and trust this if you want to. It's from the Tar Heel Tribune. I believe that's the student newspaper at UNC. So we're not the only media or whatever you want to call us. If you want to call us media, you can. I mean, I guess we technically are. But Packer and Durham had this discussion on their show on Monday. And everybody's been like, okay, what's the call? So here's what it is. Since the ejection did not involve fighting, there will be no suspension of Brady Manick. So he will play Friday. He'll play the full game. Yeah, it's not like football where you have to sit out a half, which is stupid. But yeah, Brady Manick will play. Okay, I still think UCLA beats UNC.
I got Carolina, and I want to see Carolina Duke, because if they keep winning, they're gonna. I think they either meet each other in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. One of those.
I'm pretty sure.
And I would love to see Carolina. Yeah, I would love to see Carolina versus Duke in Coach K's last send off hoorah in the tournament. That would just be awesome. So I hope they keep winning so they can see each other down the road.
I would hate for UNC to beat Duke like that. That would be tough to see.
Yeah, that would be tough.
All right, so Gonzaga, Arkansas. Who do you got in that one?
Arkansas. That's my upset. If I had to pick one upset of the weekend, I think it's going to be Arkansas. I think Arkansas beats Gonzaga. I think they get through, and they're the only SEC team left.
You don't think St. Peter's is going to beat Purdue?
No, I think it's going to be a good first half. And I think it's going to be close up until the last 10 minutes, and then Purdue's going to pull away. Purdue's going to flex their muscles. They're going to pull away.
And then Arizona-Houston?
Arizona, because they have the best player in that matchup. Usually in the tournament, the team with the best player is going to win, because the best player, he just goes off. And that's with any matchup in the tournament. So,
but Houston's defense is good enough to shut down any team's best player. In my opinion,
I agree, and I would not be shocked at all if Houston wins. Like, that's why this is the best game of the weekend. Arizona Houston is going to be the best game of the weekend. If Houston wins, I'm not going to be sitting there like, oh my god, Houston won. No, I'm gonna be like, okay, yeah, I kind of expected that, but I'm gonna pick Arizona. I think Arizona wins that one, and then that Duke Texas Tech matchup is Coach K's last ride. Duke showed some championship mettle against Michigan State. I don't think they're going to go out in the Sweet 16. I think they go out in the Elite Eight, sadly. I would love to see them get to the Final Four, but I do think they'll probably go out in the Elite Eight. But I think they'll win this one against Texas Tech tomorrow night.
All right. Well, I hope y'all took notes, and you can trash talk us when we're wrong on all of them.
Yeah, when we're absolutely wrong on all these picks.
Artie, how is your bracket doing?
I didn't have enough time to get it on our bracket. I just completely blanked on that. So, but my other bracket that I made in another pool, is complete trash. I think I had Michigan in the Sweet 16. So I had that Villanova Michigan matchup. I had Kansas, I had UNC, but I didn't have UCLA. I had Gonzaga. I had that Purdue St. Peter's. I didn't have that at all. I had Houston. Didn't have Arizona. And then I had Duke Texas Tech. So I'm all right. But some of these matchups I didn't have at all. So
my final four is still intact.
That first round completely killed me. Completely killed me.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting at like 99.7% up until like St. Peter's. Damn Peacocks.
I know you didn't have Providence in the Sweet 16 either. So,
nah, my Sweet 16 was Gonzaga, UConn, Alabama, Duke, Baylor, UCLA, Purdue, Kentucky, Arizona, Illinois, Michigan, Villanova, Kansas, Providence, Iowa State, and Miami. No, actually, Wisconsin and Auburn.
Gotcha.
So I did have Providence. No, I had Iowa in the Sweet 16, not Providence.
I had Iowa in my Final Four.
Yeah.
I had Iowa in my Final Four. So I messed up on that.
Yeah, Artie, you should walk the plank for that. Speaking of which, do you have a walk the plank?
I do have a walk the plank this week. I do. It's a bittersweet walk the plank because I like this guy. His goes by the name of Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma. Man, what a week this man has had. Obviously, everybody that likes sports or watches sports has heard that Deshaun Watson will be moving from the courthouse to Cleveland to go play for the Cleveland Browns. He is going to be their presumptive starter. They paid him way more than they should have paid him.
It took me a second. I'm following.
It's facts. They paid him way more than they should have paid him, but you know what? They believe in Deshaun, and I guess they got their guy. But what really kind of hurts Baker Mayfield and his stance is that they said they wanted an adult at that position. So they moved on from Baker, and they went and got a guy that has 22 civil suits pending against him. Not criminal, because the criminal got dropped. The civil suits are still up there. That was the adult that they replaced
him with. For sexual assault, right?
So yes, for sexual assault.
Jesus Christ.
That is the statement that Cleveland said. They wanted an adult at that position. So they went and got Deshaun Watson and said, Baker, this guy who has 22 pending civil suits against him is more of an adult than you. That's number one. Number two is that I'm hearing that a whole bunch of teams that need quarterbacks are not interested in Baker Mayfield. Carolina's not interested. Atlanta obviously was not interested. They went and got Marcus Mariota, so they're out on Baker Mayfield. A couple of other teams are out. New Orleans, I think, said that they don't want Baker. So that's another thing that's going against his character, is that teams that need quarterbacks are not going for Baker Mayfield. And then number three, I heard news today that Odell Beckham Jr. would actually love to come back to Cleveland and play in Cleveland again alongside Deshaun Watson. So these are three things that are all going against Baker and his character. I'm guessing that inside the locker room, he's not a great leader. I'm guessing that people don't really necessarily like Baker Mayfield the person. They love his commercials. Everybody loves his commercials. But they don't like Baker the person, which is really, really sad to hear, because I've been a fan of Baker Mayfield since, you know, his Oklahoma days when he planted the flag in Columbus, Ohio, at that school in Ohio.
Grabbed his crotch, and,
I loved all the antics. I really did. I liked the antics, and I thought he could play. I thought he backed it up. I mean, he got his team to playoffs 2 or 3 years in a row. So, I mean, I thought he could back, and he's a Heisman Trophy winner. But this is really, really degrading and detrimental news to Baker. And really, I mean, the one is like, you got beat out by a dude that has 22 civil suits against him. I mean, that's, and they said he's more of an adult than you. So Baker Mayfield, love you, wish you the best, but you got to walk the damn plank on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have him fill in as the backup in Atlanta. I wouldn't mind that.
He's a better right quarterback now than Marcus Mariota.
At times that's debatable.
He's been up and down. He's definitely been up and down.
Both of them have. And I mean, anybody's got to be better than Josh Rosen. So, I mean, that's just neither here nor there.
Chosen Rosen.
Well, cool. Artie, is that all you got on Baker?
That's all I got on Baker. That's it.
All right.
That's it.
Well, mine.
What you got for me?
Mine is tough. We kind of hinted at it last week on the podcast with our interview with Josh Moylan. Josh Moylan, mm-hmm. first baseman. He's not my walk the plank. I'm going to talk about another first baseman.
Okay. I know where you're going with this.
Frederick, former NL MVP, World Series champion with the mm-hmm. Atlanta Braves, the Braves of Atlanta. Walk the damn plank.
No. Right?
I don't have the contract figures right in front of me. This man, his whole career, said, I want to be like Jeter. I want to be like Chipper. I want to play every game of my professional career in a Braves uniform. Cool. The Braves offered him pretty much the same contract he took with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has the guts to go on in his press conference and say, well, I was kind of hurt by it when they traded for Matt Olson, who is, I think, 4 years younger, has honestly closer, in some cases, better stats than Freddie Freeman at the plate, and was playing in a pitcher's ballpark. So, I mean, coming into Atlanta, which is notorious to be a hitter's ballpark, he's going to come in and his stats are going to just go through the roof. So he was mad that the Braves weren't willing to give him a sixth year and weren't willing to outbid the Dodgers when, I mean, this guy's 32 years old. Look at Albert Pujols, that fat sack of potatoes. He had a great career, Albert Pujols did. But now the Dodgers are paying him $20 million to come off the bench and be a pinch hitter. And that's it. And when he does get a hit, the few times it happens, guess what? As soon as he's on the base, all right, pinch runner, somebody get the old man his crutches back so he can get back to the dugout. That's what it is. That's what happens when you give somebody a long-term deal when they're that old. I get it. But to be upset when your agency gave Alex Anthopoulos, which is notoriously one of the better GMs in all of baseball, he rebuilt the Blue Jays, rebuilt the Dodgers, he rebuilt the Braves, and won them a World Series. The Braves didn't have an outfield last year at the trade deadline. He brought in a whole new outfield and won the damn World Series. The Braves weren't over 500 until August, and he won a World Series because he brought in the right guys. And this move, A, costs less than Freddie Freeman, is going to have probably better stats of the term of the deal. I believe it's an 8-year deal, and he's making like $20 million a year as opposed to the $30 million that Freddie was asking for. I'm sorry. Like, hey, thank you for winning us a championship. I wish you would have kept your word. I wish you would have stayed here in Atlanta, worn a tomahawk across your chest the rest of your career. Then you would be a Braves great. Hey, we'll retire your number in 15, 20 years when you're too old. I'm glad I don't have to see your wife pushing her eBay products all the time anymore on social media. I followed her as soon as I saw that we traded for Matt Olson. All right, Freddie, thank you. Walk the damn plank. Matt Olson season is here. Braves are back. The Braves are going to go on this year, going to be outstanding, still the best team in the NL East. Arguably one of the best lineups in the National League, if not all of baseball. Still better than the Dodgers. You got Ozzy, you got Dansby, you got Ronald coming back from his ACL tear. Shout out John. I realized John had another ACL tear here recently. Austin Riley, arguably one of the best third basemen in all of baseball right now. Top five third baseman in all of baseball right now. I mean, your outfield is still, you still need a center fielder, but your outfield is pretty locked up. Pitching, Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson, Max Fried, Mike Soroka might come back. Who knows? I'm not holding my breath, but we don't need him. We didn't need him to win a World Series. We didn't need Ronald Acuna Jr. We didn't need the best player, the most electric player in all of baseball last year to win a World Series. We're getting him back, and we have a DH. Give me a damn break. And we're not paying $220 million to do it like the Dodgers, who can't even buy a real World Series championship. All they can do is win a bubble championship. You freaking clowns. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Jared, who hurt you, bro? Who hurt you?
And
hello.
Tyler Nutsack Matzik, dude is a certified stud, best bullpen in all of baseball, in my opinion. Bolstered it with Kenley Jansen, who led the NL with saves last year. Give me a damn break. Give me a break. Freddie Freeman, pack your bags, go to LA, see you later. Enjoy paying those high taxes. I don't give a shit.
Are you just upset that he went to LA? Had it been anybody else, would you be this upset?
No, I mean, it's not that. It's all season, all his whole career. I want to be a Brave for life. That's the thing. The Braves aren't like these other organizations where you got a new team every year. The Braves historically have had guys that stay for their whole career, but they also are known for being smart with who they give contracts to and how they structure those contracts. I mean, it's been forever since the Braves really historically have never given out no trade clauses. They gave one to Freddie Freeman.
How long was Freddie Freeman a Brave?
He was in the organization for 15 years. He was a starter for 12.
15 years and 12 years as starter, which means He gave his best baseball to the city of Atlanta and the Braves organization. He helped win them a championship.
We appreciate that.
Here's the thing. He has every right to leave Atlanta after 15 years. He gave you everything.
He does.
And then, he got
Buckner. But don't be a liar about it. If you
for Olsen,
if you want to leave,
and he wanted to
I'm
leave.
Open to all options. But once you say and try to play hardball, and Chipper Jones said it best, like, don't do something that is going to, like, really upset you. Make sure you do what's right for you, but, like, don't be upset when the Braves move on. It's a business, and they're trying to win, and they're in a win-now period. The Braves extended their chance to win for another decade. The Braves could be one of the best dynasties in all of baseball over the next 10 years.
You sound upset.
Yeah. Fuck Freddie Freeman.
Look, I think Braves fans how do you say that? I think Braves fans should be happy with the product that Freddie Freeman gave. He didn't slight you. He didn't shortchange you. He gave you everything for 15 years, and he decided
It's the fact that he took the same deal where he's actually going to make less money because of California's high tax rate.
Why be upset? Why be upset? He already gave you the best baseball he could give. You helped win a championship.
Yeah.
I would just be like, bye-bye, Freddie Freeman. I wouldn't even be upset about it. I'd be like, look, thanks for the memories. We'll see you down the road.
All I'm saying is the way it went down, he gave the Braves an ultimatum. And the Braves had to do what was best for the Braves.
Right. He thought the Braves were going to choose him, and they chose winning.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
It's just business. Nobody should be upset.
But to say, hey, I'll do whatever it takes for me to be a Brave for the rest of my career and then not do that? All right, buddy. Hit the roads. We'll see ya. You can be the backup in the All-Star game when Matt Olson's cranking 40 home runs this year, 50 home runs this year at Truist Park in Atlanta.
You know who should be walking the damn plank is your beloved Atlanta Falcons. That's who should be walking the damn plank. Giving up the franchise for a third round pick is beyond stupid.
Gotta tear it down. Hey, you know it hurts me to lose one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, I hope he can win
a
championship.
Jared's words, not mine, people. It's Jared's words, not mine.
I hope he can win a championship. In Indianapolis, I don't see it happening because I don't think Indy can compete to win a championship. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to win a championship.
Not today's AFC. No, the AFC's way too damn good. No.
Yeah. He should have gone to an NFC team. That's just in my opinion, but I get it. I mean, the Deshaun Watson thing, I think that was handled poorly. but I think they wanted to do the right by Matt Ryan. Arthur Blank, Terry Fontenot both said, like, hey, we tried to do what was right for Matt Ryan. We had other teams calling, but we wanted to send him to a competitor or a team that's competing for a championship right now. And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. They did right by Matt Ryan by trading him to a team. They were going to tear it down, build it back. Who knows? I don't know. At this point, if the Falcons make the playoffs in the next 10 years, I'll be surprised.
And there you have
it. But I got the Braves and the Hurricanes. I'm all right. I got the Braves.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
I got the Hurricanes who are looking like a Stanley Cup champ. I got ECU football looking pretty good. Hopefully Mike Schwartz can get ECU basketball on the right track. Cliff Godwin, figure this shit out now for ECU baseball. Let's go to Omaha this year. Let's figure it out. We can do it. Hey, it's not over till the fat lady sings and Artie's not singing. So, yeah, let's do it.
And on that note, people, I have nothing left to add.
Final thought. Congratulations, HV3.
Yes, sir.
Qualifying for the Masters. So that's coming up in a couple weeks. Shout out HV3. Go get you a green jacket. That purple under a green jacket that he wears on Sunday, that would look
mighty,
that would look
nice.
Mighty nice. I'll take that.
Yes, it would.
All right. Well, Artie, anything else?
No, sir. We love you, Pirate Nation. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoy giving it to you. And as always, wash your hands, wash your butts, and we out. Deuce.
Peace.